Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm, or Proverbs, I should say. Proverbs, chapter number 2. And I want you to look at with me verse number 3 as we study tonight, improving in another area. Be the last area that I deal with before we move on to a book study in a couple weeks from now. But improving in knowledge and understanding. Do you think that God wants us to grow in those areas? Knowledge and understanding. You ever thought of two people or two words that are inseparable? If I say Andy Griffith, what's another name you're going to put with Andy? Barney, right? Andy and Barney are inseparable. Of course, Andy bailing Barney out of a lot of trouble in a lot of ways, but Andy and Barney, right? If I say apple pie, what are you going to put with apple pie? What are you going to put on it? Huh? Ice cream, right? Ice cream. Chevrolet, I guess, would be part of that. If I said Brad Peters, what kind of tractor? Inseparable. John Deere, that's right. John Deere. Case, actually. If I say Beb Bowman, I always think of Diet Coke. She loves her Diet Coke. Inseparable, right? If I think of guns, I think of bullets. What's a gun without a bullet? If I think of freedom, I still think of the U.S. of A. I was talking with somebody today and talking about India, and Brother Pratt's writing me about they're shutting down weekends and churches over in India. And somebody said to me today, they said, you know, you look at the rest of the world in the midst of all this other crises, and America's still by far the free country in the world. Don't know how long that's going to last, but boy, you compare to the Philippines, you compare to India, you compare to other countries, and you're going, my, oh my, thank God that we still have some freedoms. In the Bible, there are 20 verses of Scripture that combine two words that are almost inseparable, knowledge and understanding. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says here, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Drop down to verse number 6, because the Bible says, therefore the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh what? Knowledge and understanding. Obviously, Proverbs was written so that young people would grow in instruction, they would grow in wisdom, they would grow in knowledge, and they would grow in understanding. If you read the first 5 verses of chapter number 1, Solomon lays it out very clear. This is why I'm writing the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants us to grow in knowledge and understanding. When we think of the 3 Hebrew children plus Daniel, we find in Daniel chapter 1, as for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding. What made those 4 young men stick out above all the people that were in captivity in Israel and all the foreigners was they had knowledge and they had understanding. And so I believe that God would want us to grow in understanding. When Solomon asked for something from the Lord, what did he ask for in 1 Kings chapter 3? He asked for wisdom. And he said this in verse number 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? It is interesting that Solomon uses the word understanding 53 times in Proverbs. But when he talks about that season of his life that was full of vanity in Ecclesiastes, he uses the word understanding once. 53 times in Proverbs. But when he goes through that time where he left knowledge and understanding, he only uses the word understanding one time. It's quite interesting to me. I did a study on the picture of people without a knowledge of God, and I would like to share some of those verses tonight in the message. If you look over to Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter number 5, we know the context of Isaiah 5 is what more could have been done in my vineyard. Man, did I not hedge you about, my people? Did I not make sure that you were protected in every way, that every opportunity was given to you to grow in the Lord? And yet what I've raised is sour grapes. That's the beginning of chapter number 5. But if you look at verse number 13, the Bible says this, Isaiah 5:13, therefore my people are gone into captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. To what kind of people? To the people that have no knowledge. No knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would like you to turn over there because there's another passage here that describes a church with some in it that do not have the knowledge of God. Now, when I'm studying no knowledge of God, I am dealing in the scripture, as far as I can tell, in every context that I've studied, when somebody has no knowledge of God, we're dealing with unbelievers. We're not dealing with a saved individual. We're not dealing with somebody that has mental knowledge that God exists. We're dealing with somebody that is unsaved, unregenerate, dead in their trespasses and sins. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says this, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. He's writing to church. He's saying, hey, be alert, folks. Be alert. There are evil communications around you, and they can corrupt you. That's verse 33. Awake to righteousness, verse 34, and sin not, for some have not what? The knowledge of God. You know what he's saying? There are people in the church at Corinth that don't know Christ. In the church, amongst the people that have not the knowledge of God. You know what God says to that? I speak that to your shame. That's a shameful thing. That they would be under the gospel, that they would be in and around the gospel and have not the knowledge of God. And he's saying, as believers, you need to beware because companions like that will corrupt you. That's the context of what he's writing about here in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tonight. He's teaching the church at Thessalonica how to possess their vessels, their bodies, in sanctification and honor in verse number 4. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which what? Which know not God. Boy, the picture of somebody that doesn't know God is that they're going to corrupt others. The picture is they're going to live in captivity in Isaiah chapter 5. The picture is they're going to live in the lust of their concupiscence. They're going to defraud others. They're going to not handle their vessel in sanctification and honor. This is picturesque of somebody that has no knowledge of God. They're not a believer. Now, we find in Hosea chapter 4 another group that are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He says in verse number 1, for the Lord hath a controversy, the middle of verse number 1, with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, neither mercy, watch this, nor knowledge of God in the land. As Brother Wilbur testified about the Biden administration, and Sharon testified about the University of Pittsburgh tonight, it came to my mind again, we have no knowledge of God in our land anymore. We don't want knowledge. We don't want to retain God in our knowledge. That's who Hosea is writing to. He says, by swearing, lying, verse 2, killing, stealing, committing adultery, they break out. Blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. He says, for my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. I want to give you what, not only the picture of those that don't have the knowledge of God, but secondly tonight, I want you to see the product of growing in knowledge. We should be growing in knowledge. Bible knowledge is necessary to come to Christ, is it not? I mean, somebody has to tell somebody, whether they share a verse or they tell them the truth, that Jesus died for their sin. They can't come to Christ without believing in Christ. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, in order for somebody to take the first step in Bible knowledge of salvation, somebody has to tell them. Knowledge is important. They have to have that knowledge in order to come to Christ. We learn that from Romans chapter 10. You say, preacher, what should Bible knowledge produce in my life? If I'm growing in Bible knowledge, what should it produce in my life? Number one, it should produce right living. It should produce right living. Turn over in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want you to look at this passage, and then I want you to go to Romans 1, and we're going to contrast these two passages tonight. Philippians 1, Bible growing in Bible knowledge should mean that I'm growing in right living. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes in verse number 9, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with" what? "The fruits of righteousness." Man, if I'm growing in love, knowledge, and judgment, my life should be filled with fruits of righteousness, right living. Now, go to Romans chapter 1, because I want to contrast Philippians 1 with Romans 1. If you look at verse Romans 1, you'll find in Romans 1, verse 21, the Bible describes a people that it says this about them. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." Wait, they knew him at some point. There was some basic knowledge, but they glorified him not as God. If you drop down to verse 28, the Bible says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," look at verse 29, "being filled with" all what? "Unrighteousness." Wait, Philippians, I'm getting knowledge about God and it's turning into what? I'm being filled with fruits of righteousness. But if I take knowledge about God and I reject it like they did in Romans 1, then what is my life being filled with? All unrighteousness. Do you see that? What I do with knowledge is critical. And Bible knowledge should produce right living. Number two, Bible knowledge should prevent me from hasty decisions. Turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Did you know that most hasty decisions are fleshly decisions? They're fleshly decisions. They're sin. They're things that cause you to sin. Let me ask you this: Have you ever been stumped on a temptation for 3 days? No. When we give into temptation, generally we give into temptation right now. That's a hasty decision. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 1. "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Also, "that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth." Without knowledge, you're going to tend to be hasty. And it's going to lead to a perverted way. Look at verse number 3 there. Hasty decisions are impulsive reactions to temptation. We quickly go after the lure. You know what Bible knowledge helps us to do? It helps us to stop and think. Wait a second, is there a Bible principle that applies to this situation? Lord, wait a second, I'm supposed to submit to you in a season of temptation and yield myself to you and you'll flee from me. Bible knowledge helps us with those times. It should prevent us from hasty decisions. Number three, it should preserve you from evil paths and people. Turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Back to Proverbs chapter 2. When wisdom, in verse number 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee, watch this now, watch the wording, from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. When knowledge and understanding are healthy in my life, it is going to preserve me from the way of an evil man and from the man. Do you see that? Knowledge, biblical knowledge with understanding, is very important that it's being developed in your life, that it is being pursued in your life, that it is being something that you can see growth in your life. The combination of those will preserve you. It will produce right living. It will, as we learn, prevent you from hasty decisions. So then, how do I get it? Knowledge. Knowledge I get through instruction, don't I? Knowledge I get through reading. Man, if I could tell every parent here one thing to make sure you ingrain in your kids, ingrain in them to read. You know your children cannot be spiritual unless they read. That just is a true statement. Now, if they can't read because they're blind, they can listen to the Word of God. But if they don't read the Word of God, they can't be spiritual. You can't walk with God without reading the Word of God. So if my kids never learn and have a desire to read, you know what I'm going to raise? I'm going to raise a carnal kid. Let's just be frank tonight. We need to be reading. If we're going to grow in knowledge and understanding, we have to be a reading people. I encourage you, if you're a parent, pursue that with your kids. Give your books. Give your kids books to read. Lay out the Word of God. Read a book as a family together. Pass around the book and read a couple pages each and discuss those spiritual things. We need growth in knowledge and understanding. Listen, the world, they're selling all their smut to our young people. It's all over social media. It's all over the news. We've got to give ourselves to knowledge and understanding. We read, we get it in instruction, we get it in listening to sermons, we listen to godly music with the aim of thinking the words and letting them instruct us in biblical counsel and ladies' Bible studies and Bible classes and things like that. That's how we get knowledge. But did you know that if we stop at knowledge, we have fallen far short? Because knowledge without understanding is a curse. I've often tried to figure out how can kids grow up in churches, have knowledge a mile long. I mean, tell me the story of Goliath, I'll give you all the details. I mean, tell me the story of Ananias and Sapphira, I'll give you all the details. Tell me about the story of Jael in the Old Testament, or Deborah, or the crossing of the Red Sea, or Adam and Eve, and those kids can give you all the details. And yet have the possibility of being filled with the fruits of unrighteousness like you never could describe or think of. You know that passage in Romans chapter 1 is very interesting because it talks about them knowing God but not retaining God in their knowledge, and one of the descriptions is they are without understanding. They have knowledge, but they don't have understanding. Now, Proverbs 15:14 says this, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. If you have a heart of understanding, then the Bible says in another passage of Scripture, knowledge is easy for you. But if you don't have a heart of understanding, then guess what? Knowledge becomes difficult. You all of a sudden are not so excited to be around the Word of God or come to church or be exposed to a lot of the Word because you don't have understanding. You say, preacher, what is understanding? Used a number of times, 26 times in Proverbs. What is understanding? It's when we allow the Word of God, knowledge, to make the choices in our lives. And watch this, the changes in our lives. That is understanding. It's interesting because the Bible in Proverbs says a fool hath no delight in understanding, no pleasure. but that his heart may discover itself, that it may be captivated by itself. The Bible says, O foolish people, in Jeremiah, without understanding, not without knowledge. Listen to this verse. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. What's the problem? It's not a knowledge problem. Most Christians that get into those kinds of things, it's not a knowledge problem. What is it? It's an understanding problem. They've not allowed the Word of God to make choices for them and not allowed the Word of God to make changes in their lives and not open their heart to truth. And as a result, all they're full of is knowledge and there's no combination with understanding. And as a result, we have a mess on our hands. He says in Proverbs 8, verse number 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. In Proverbs 7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. He went the way to her house, void of understanding, not void of knowledge, void of understanding. In Proverbs chapter 9, the same thing is spoken of. But I want you to understand that there's a way to get understanding tonight. And I'll close with this thought. Proverbs 9, verse number 4. The Bible says this, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth or lacketh understanding, wisdom, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Come is the first invitation you must respond to if you're going to grow in understanding. Come, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Come. Come and taste what I have for you, God says. He that lacketh understanding, come. Number two, forsake the foolish. You can't be an understanding person and run with foolish people. Are you listening tonight? You can't combine knowledge and understanding and run with the wrong crowd. If you're going to become and grow in a person of knowledge and understanding, you have to take what the Bible says. He says, come. And secondly, he says, forsake the foolish and live. This is to the person that lacks understanding. Thirdly, go in the way of understanding. Begin to allow the Word of God to make the choices for you in your life. Begin to allow the Word of God to make the changes that need to be made in your life. Don't put them off. Don't despise it. Understand, if I'm going to grow in knowledge and understanding, I got to take Proverbs 9, 4 through 6 and personalize it. If my kids are going to grow in knowledge and understanding, I better pray my bones off for Proverbs 9, 4 through 6 to take place in their life. And as the Bible says, I better use the rod often and early. I better use reproof early because the Bible says that gives understanding to the children. Those things give understanding. Brother and I really believe as I studied this that I'm fearful that we have a lot of knowledge in our churches. I believe that. I'm just not sure we always are combining the two, knowledge and understanding. And without understanding, all the fruits of unrighteousness are at our doorstep. That's what Romans 1 tells me. And so if there's some area that God wants you to improve in this year, we've talked about appetite, we've talked about our words, we've talked about the usage of our time, but here's another one, that I grow in knowledge and understanding. God wants that for each and every one of us. Grow in knowledge. Give yourself to learning. A wise man will increase and will learn, but also, Lord, don't let me get knowledge without you affecting my choices and without changes being made in my life. Because God, if that's all I get is knowledge, it becomes a big curse in my life. Those are the people that walk away from the faith and go apostate into stuff that you could never dream of. And brethren, that can happen to you and me. So help us.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.